And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Someone was just trying to call and get in. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask a question. Otherwise, I have beautiful poetry to read to you if nobody wants to call. All right. Sometimes I mention the same information over and over because who knows, everybody has a different learning style, and when you hear it, you think, okay, that makes sense now. Okay, now I got you. Welcome to the program. Okay, you're on. How are you? Okay, I can't hear you. We got a bad connection. I will hang up and try again. 903-586-5257. Okay, I think I have all the buttons pushed right. I can only tell you my personal opinion. I'm kind of a people watcher. The amount of people touching their face with these masks on has just kind of gone through the roof. A young man sent me a text the other day, and he said, "What do I do about all the horrible rash and breakout all over my face from the mask?" And so when I took a look at it, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, it's horrible. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's try again. All right, do I have you now? Good morning. Can you hear me? Okay, for some reason, I think I have all the buttons pushed. Yep. Yeah, I've got them all. I've got them. Okay, we'll try again. I think I have all the proper buttons pushed. 903-586-5257. My recommendations were, and, you know, I don't know. I haven't done my own survey. I don't know how many times a person's putting the same mask on or how many times they touch it, where their hands have been. But, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that you're probably transferring so many germs, it's unbelievable. And I just hate the idea of you just rebreathing those same germs over and over again. Okay, is it working now?
No, this is somebody else.
Well, that's fine. Hello, somebody else. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I've talked to you before. I keep having, I had a breakout over my eyes and stuff, and you recommended avocado and everything. I keep breaking out.
Tell me exactly the location one more time.
Right above my eyes. And
is it in the eyelid or above the eyebrow?
It's right under the eyebrow.
Okay. Well, is it eczema?
I don't have a clue what it is. They've given me...
Is it like slightly red and a little bit flaky and crusty?
It turns red, then it dries out, and it's, you know, like a dried place would be.
Well, the reason I ask is because that would be a very common location for eczema, which is an autoimmune disease. Do you know of anyone in your family that has eczema?
Not to my knowledge. I know my sister had an autoimmune disease, but hers was rheumatoid arthritis.
How long have you had it?
Oh, my gosh. It's been going on several months now.
Okay.
And when it seems like when I get stressed, it gets worse.
Okay. Well, that would be part and parcel of eczema. Just because I say this doesn't make it so. But let's talk about earlier this morning, I don't know, 4:30-ish, I was reading a piece about vitamin D3 and how it activates all the different systems of the body. And one of the things that I came across, it said that people that are very low in vitamin D, they tend to have the most stubborn forms of eczema of the skin that doesn't go away. Now, tell me what your skin color is. Is it like really white, sort of white, tan?
I'm pretty white. I haven't been out in the sun, no.
Well, do you go out in the sun every day? Is just a normal routine? Well, you do know that when you go out in the sunshine, that's when the ultraviolet radiation of the sun reacts with your skin, and it converts the cholesterol into a form of vitamin D3, where it goes to your kidneys and you make the active form.
Yeah, I mean, I take Alive Women's 50 Plus every day. I take vitamin C, calcium, zinc, magnesium.
I think that's against the law to take if you're below 50, so you could be breaking the law technically. Is that true?
I don't know. I take a bunch of vitamins.
Well, you're trying to help yourself. That's good.
Yeah, calcium, zinc, and magnesium are essential.
All right, let me break it down for you. I'm going to give you, you're right, all those things are essential. And if they weren't essential 6 months ago, then they're really essential now.
Now.
Just to give your immune system a chance to do its job properly. All right. If you have this red, it flares up, then it dries out, and it's irritating, annoying, and it's in your upper eyelid, then what I'm going to suggest is we try two or three things. There's one thing that I've heard crazy people say in the past about putting a drop of urea on there, but I would never mention that on the air because that might be questionable.
Urea? Oh,
yes,
urine.
I didn't say urine, ma'am. I said urea. That would be my code talk this morning. But if I had this red rash, I'd say, okay, is there any possibility that there's something that I'm eating that's driving this whole process? And the first thing that comes to my mind would be dairy products. So is there any chance that you
eat dairy products?
Well, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? Could you please, for the next 3 weeks, just switch to goat cheese? So if you tell me you love cheese, go to the grocery store. I don't even know all the different types. I saw at Natural Grocer the other day. I think
Sprouts is open now too here.
Have you been to it?
No, not yet. I've heard a lot of good things.
You going today?
Yep, I'll have to.
Well, they say the 1 millionth customer at Sprouts today gets a free loaf of bread and goat cheese. What more could a girl want?
I love goat cheese. I was in Greece. I lived in Greece for a year.
And oh, did you have great cheese there?
Yes, fresh every day. Sheep's milk.
Oh man, how could you beat that?
You can't.
So if you will be willing just to say, okay, I've got to give up every form of dairy that comes from a cow. It's those two proteins, lactalbumin and casein, that may cause your immune system to overreact. And this
can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What about can I still take kefir?
No, it's a dairy product.
Oh!
Unless it comes from a sheep or a goat source, which if you go down the refrigerated aisle that has those, if you find kefir that comes from a sheep, then go for it. Do it. It'll be fine for
you. I'm going to have to. Okay, for 3 weeks. No dairy.
Yeah, so if the kefir idea is just crushing to you, then if you try goat yogurt or sheep yogurt, you're probably going to say, oh, my word, I had no idea it could taste this good. At least that's my opinion.
Okay, so no dairy for 3 weeks.
Yes. The other thing, anytime that you have the upper eyelid is a little bit rashy, one of the minerals that's really important is zinc. I know you're taking that because you mentioned it a while ago.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with number one. You're eating something that your body just does not agree with. So let me talk about the topical remedies that you can try to see if they work. Obviously, you could try applying urea to see if that helps soothe and calm an overactive immune system in that area and clear toxins. The other two or three things that might be worth a trial would be just getting a hold of some raw honey. And I don't care if you thin it out just a bit. I know it's sticky. It's super sticky. It's honey.
Oh, that's all right.
But if you rub it on there, give it at least 45 minutes to an hour to let your skin drink that stuff up.
Aloe vera help?
Well, aloe vera's worth a try. I think that's like a great idea.
I mean, I keep an aloe vera plant.
You can't do better than that. If you just snap off an end of a leaf and just get that gelatinous, gooey stuff and rub it in your eye, that's great. Perfect. Couldn't ask for better.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome.
Morgan.
Thank you. Have a good day, man.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. The phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you'd like to call and ask a question. And actually, the last caller is proof that I have all the buttons pushed correctly to activate the online phone system, so we should be good to go. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I came across this poem from Sir John Harrington, and I think It was published in The Englishman's, or The Englishman's Doctor, written in 1609, so you kind of know the era that it comes from. But it's just so cute. I can't help but read it to you. I think it's funny. But he, Sir John Harrington, wrote this poem. And this is in reference to the herb or the spice called garlic. I think the other day I was in the backyard and I saw a garlic bulb. It must have been close to 5.5 feet tall. I thought, oh my goodness, you are stretching toward the sky, aren't you? I wonder why the garlic is going so high. I guess it wants to be closer to the heavens, right? Here's a poem from Sir John Harrington. Garlic then have power to save from death. Bear with it, though, it maketh unsavory breath. And scorn not garlic like some that think. It only maketh men wink and drink and stink. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask you about the pneumonia vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a senior, and I don't take flu shots or anyway. So I'm concerned because the doctor wants me to take it.
Oh yeah, totally.
But I don't know anything about it. So I thought you know, I've been just the last 2 weeks I have been listening to the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to know what your opinion
is.
Well,
the one thing I don't have in front of me is I don't have the studies that demonstrate how effective it really is. But let me give you a different take on this. This may not be the actual answer that you want, but just hear me out. When you were inside your mama's womb, all that amniotic fluid that surrounded your body is what completely bathed your lungs, and so when you would suck your thumb, you'd probably drink some of the amniotic fluid down, but under those circumstances, it's a completely sterile environment. There's no such thing as bacteria in your lungs or on your skin. You had no contact. But when you were born, you came through the birth canal, and that's where all the beneficial bacteria from your mother's reproductive canal, they left her tissue, and they cling to you like a tennis ball and Velcro. And so that's the very first experience with the outside world, and that is what generates an immune response. And so maybe what I really want to tell you is, if lungs and staying healthy is one of your deals, then making sure that you do things that help feed and nourish beneficial microbes in your body so your immune system can stay strong. Because the more beneficial microbes or probiotics you have, the less room you have for viruses and toxic bacteria and fungus and yeast to grow. And so I have a sales pitch for you.
Okay.
There's a form of a fermented cabbage called sauerkraut.
Oh, you like that, do you? Yes.
See, if you had two or three, or maybe even if you're super crazy, 4 forks a day of it in the morning, go ahead.
You mean before eating anything else?
Even one of the studies that I read recently, it showed that if somebody's got like a weak digestive tract and they're prone to, oh, let me just make up some things, like acid reflux or maybe the food sits in their stomach.
I have GERD.
Yeah, this is exactly what you want then. And so before you have your breakfast, unless you skip breakfast, eat some sauerkraut. Now, I'm kind of partial to the one that's raw, that hasn't been pasteurized. You can get the kind that's pasteurized where they give it like a flash high heat, like 170-something degrees to kill the microbes. I don't like that. I like the Bubby's sauerkraut that's raw.
Mm.
So, it should be. Do you live in the Tyler area?
Actually, I'm close to Sulphur Springs.
Sulphur Springs. That's where my nephew lives.
Okay.
Can next time you roll down the window, say, "Hey, Grant, how's it going, buddy?" usually his head is shaved perfectly clean every time I see him. He's kind of into hygiene. Is that okay with you?
of course, especially for a young person, that's unusual.
So if you're close to the Sulphur Springs area, if there is a local either health food store that you can go to, but you're going to go to the refrigerated section And look for those jars of either the Bubby's pickles or the Bubby's sauerkraut. And man, that stuff is so, so good. It's like eating candy. Well, that's my interpretation. Probably nobody
else's.
Well,
I happen to like it, and I felt a little salty at times. But
yes, absolutely. So let me say it this way. Your lungs are the largest organ of detoxification, but what they detoxify is metabolic gaseous waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know as well as I do, probably the number one problem that we have in the world right now would be respiratory infections. That would be an infection
exactly.
of the lung.
Exactly, yes.
And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make a correlation that between your intestines, which is kind of a hollow organ, not mm-hmm. unlike the lungs, they're hollow organs, they kind of pair and they help each other. So the numbers of beneficial bacteria and, you know, what I said, probiotics, just for simplicity, that's going to encourage the production of a substance called surfactant. And that's mm-hmm. going to be a cleansing agent or a healing agent toward the lungs. And so if I told you that your lungs are probably 95% water, you know, by weight, would you believe me?
I think there is some that was somewhere. I don't know.
So that means yeah. I want you to drink water every day as a way to keep your immune system up and running. But okay. the largest gland of the immune system is called the thymus gland. And the yeah. thymus gland has complete responsibility over the immune system, but especially the lungs. And so earlier mm-hmm. this morning, before I came on the air, I was reading stories about people back in Russia that had horrible problems with infections, and the doctors would give them thymus extract, and all of a sudden they would make a tremendous recovery. Now, usually thymus extract, that will come when they take a young calf to the meat processor, if I could say that gently, and when mm-hmm. they would harvest the thymus gland, they would put it probably in a food dehydrator, or they would freeze dry it, and crush it up and put it in either in tablet form or capsule form and give it to a human being as a way of bolstering the immune system.
Do they have that available?
Yes, they do. They do. Yes, ma'am. I mean, if
you can go to the health store.
That's right. If you didn't do anything else today but write down thymus or calf thymus extract, that would give okay. you a big bang for the buck.
Okay, because like I said, I'm closer to 80. And I do
have
that.
Did you say 80?
80 years old, yes.
Oh, you sound so good. I love it.
Well, the thing that I'm having is the GERD. Mm-hmm. And then I went, anyway, the doctor prescribed something for me. Because sometimes I don't sleep well. I wake up. And she gave me something that when I read the label or whatever they give you with it, it said it was an antidepressant. And I said, well, what does that have to do with my lack of sleep? Or, you know, that I wake up during the night.
Well, so, what did she say?
Well, no, I just went and I didn't know until I bought it. But
oh, yes, anyway. No. And I'm not judging you at all, but she didn't say this is exactly what this is for. This is why I'm giving you an antidepressant.
Well, because I told her I don't sleep well because I, you know, sometimes during the night I wake up. But mm-hmm. anyway, I was I'm not depressed.
No, you're not depressed at all. Well, let me give you a different take on this. And the direction that I've been going when you mentioned the pneumonia vaccine, what I want to promote is what can you do to help your immune system do a better job of staying strong and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had my wish with you, your very last meal of the day would be one that would be very, very easy on your system to process. And
okay.
that could be as simple as, I'm just telling you what I like. I think that halibut could be absolutely the most delicious fish in the ocean. I'm sure somebody's arguing.
I love fish, but it's hard to find it here. They have a catfish.
Here's what you're going to do. When you go to the large grocery store there in Sulphur Springs,
mm-hmm.
you're going to go to the refrigerated seafood section, and you're going to find wild-caught flounder or mahi-mahi, which I think that's mm-hmm. delicious also, and you're going to mm-hmm. find halibut. But those are very, very mild right there.
Okay, that sounds good.
So you can find that, but if you had that with just one vegetable in the evening, okay. I think you would tell me that your sleep improves. If you have any sugar in the evening, if your sleep is poor, I think you're asking for it, sister. Like, you're going to wake up multiple times. But you probably know that intuitively, don't you?
I do, but sometimes, in the evening, I have had peanut butter sandwiches. Now, is that...
I'm not laughing at you. I just didn't expect you to say that.
Well, I like it, so I figure,
Who was the character on Sesame Street that used to like peanut butter sandwiches? What my request is, if you want to have the best sleep, do not have a peanut butter sandwich at bedtime or for your last meal. If you're going to have that, make it at lunchtime. But if you would have just one protein, like a fish fillet with something like kale or half an avocado, I think things would go much better and you'd have less issues with reflux. And I think also if you stuck with the sauerkraut in the morning, I think you would tell me that you're better.
I'm going to try the sauerkraut. The one I bought from a local place, it's Clausen.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, what was the brand?
Well, the brand that I find easy to procure is called Bubby's. Like, there's a, I don't know who made up the name Bubby, but B-U-B-B-I-E-S, I think. Maybe there's an apostrophe S in there. But Bubby's sauerkraut and their pickles, man, they are to die for.
Okay, I'll try to find them. But if in the meantime, the other one will do too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I tell you what my mother used to do? She would tell me that she would take like a little tea saucer, a girl like yourself likes to have tea parties occasionally, I'm assuming. Well, I mean, you are a girl. What girl doesn't like a good tea party, right? But she would take the little tea saucer, and she would put what's called Celtic or Celtic salt in there. I didn't ask her how she did it. For all I know, she took a salt shaker or just took a pinch of it and laid on the saucer. And what she would do, this may sound gross, I don't think so, though, but if she would wake up at, say, 2 o'clock in the morning from a deep sleep and say, okay, why am I awake? She would just wet her finger from her tongue. She would press it into the saucer, and whatever salt came off on her finger, she would put that, and that's just pure minerals. And she would suck on that.
I think that's an excellent idea.
What do you have to lose by doing that? It's like so
that's
cheap.
That's right. That's right. And
I wonder if the FDA has cleared salt. No, I'm joking. You know how they think. They think salt's all bad and it's evil. But
I know.
If you were to just suck on a little bit of salt when you wake up in the middle of the night, then tell me if you start going back to sleep.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to try it. I'm going to start this week. But I'm really happy when I turn on the radio to hear men call you, because most men don't want to go to a doctor.
I've heard rumors about that.
Yeah, and so I was so thrilled about it. I have been telling my friends to get up and listen to your program. But
that are really smart, right?
That's right. And before I forget, Doctor, where are you located, or do you ever see patients?
Yes, I'm in the large metropolis of Jacksonville, Texas. It's a huge metropolis.
Okay.
It's one of the most sophisticated cities in East Texas, and I think if you understand Jacksonville, you know exactly what I mean.
Well, I think... where would I call if I happened to be near the...
Do you want me to give you my office phone number?
I think it would be nice, yes.
Okay. If you have a pencil handy, I'm ready to
go.
All right.
Yes, I'm ready.
903-586-8114.
Okay. 903-586-8114.
That's it. Yes, ma'am.
And
if nothing else comes from the conversation today, I just want you to set your mind like Flint that you want to do things to help bolster and strengthen the ability of your immune system to keep your body clean and free from infection. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, okay. if you know how to, you keep from getting pneumonia, keep moving. When someone lays down, it's just almost a given. They're going to get pneumonia. So, like, if a person were sick and they went to the hospital, it's almost a guarantee if they're laying in bed for 3 days, bam, they're going to have pneumonia. That fluid builds up.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you will take vitamin A and vitamin C and zinc and vitamin D3, those will go such a long way to ensuring that your immune system works much, much better. But like I told you earlier, I think that's one of the most legitimate, interesting remedies that I've ever come across that can be very transformative of a person's immune system. It's just thymus extract. Now, I realize that's an animal product, but you've got very little to lose, just like I told you about the Celtic salt or the Celtic salt in the middle of the night. You can try those things, and they're so gentle.
Yes. Well, my granddaughter suffers, and she's only 30, from that GERD.
Well, in her case, it's because she's very advanced in years. It's all over at age 30. Well, and she's eating something that she shouldn't be eating. It's going to be as simple as that. And so when you consume a food that your immune system does not like, it will pretty much shut down digestion in an effort not to have to absorb the stuff. So if she's got food that's sitting right there, most likely she's got a little bit of inflammation of her gallbladder. So
Anyway, I'll talk to her. But one last thing to ask you. What do you recommend as general vitamin? I mean, an old...
I tend to be a fan of just being more highly specific to what you need. So if you just look at the top nutrient deficiencies, it's going to be magnesium and zinc. I think vitamin K2, vitamin D3 are central. The human body cannot make vitamin C. You would be so smart to consume some vitamin C from a good whole food source. And then the rest of it, I mean, you maybe want me to tell you to take a multiple vitamin, and I'm okay with that. But you need to be able to get the vast majority of everything that you need and require from real food. So I tend to be a fan of whole food, real living food diets. And so the doctor's prescribing you the antidepressant medication. They're trying to give you something to bolster and improve your serotonin production. And serotonin is a neurotransmitter that when you have more optimal amounts of it, yes, it is a bit more common to sleep at night, and your body is able to convert serotonin into another chemical called melatonin, would help you sleep. And I personally wouldn't have a problem with you trying melatonin. Now, I'm not guaranteeing that melatonin
works. I have tried it, but it doesn't seem to work with me.
Well, that's just it. It doesn't work with everybody. But I did, I don't know if I shared this last week or not, so I'll say it right now. I came across a study, and it came from Poland. But they showed when they supplemented with melatonin, they never asked the question about what's the quality of your sleep when you take the melatonin. But what they looked at was, out of all these people that were giving melatonin to, which ones developed dementia and Alzheimer's as they age? And you know as well as I do, you do not want to lose the function of your memory or your cognitive function or your brain.
Right, yeah, and that's happening a little bit. I'm getting very forgetful.
Well, and you're very smart to work on these things. So if sleep doesn't come well with a melatonin, it may be that if you'll make sure that you do not eat anything that would be sweet or grainy or sugary, I'm just talking about carbohydrates. And listen, if you wanted to have broccoli or cabbage for supper with flounder, that would be perfect. Or if you wanted chicken with an avocado.
Yes. That sounds wonderful. So I've been doing the wrong thing with the peanut butter.
Well, don't beat yourself up over it, but just make sure you don't have any bread or carbohydrates at the end of the day. Just have, easy-to-digest protein. Out of all of them, I think fish is probably the easiest to digest. And
I happen to like it. Yeah, I do like it.
What if over the next 2 months you tell me that the lining of your gut has been so excellently reconditioned you no longer require GERD medications like omeprazole or stuff like that?
I know, it's disgusting. I think this is going to help me, and I'm going to try it.
Good, you're such a good girl. You're a great student of health.
Well, I think you do a great job, and I was, like I said, I'm very happy. I try to tell the women to have their husbands call you.
they're beating down the door right now. Currently, I can tell all the men saying, "Oh, Dr. Morgan, what can I do to improve my skin?" I'm joking about that. No, you know that men are wired differently. But I can tell you this: I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying. I'm in agreement. If a man doesn't take personal responsibility for himself, then it's just a disaster.
Well, it's hard on the wives, you know. They just
wife's job is not to be the man's mommy and say, "Please, please take your nutrition," you know. So it really helps if a man has a strong sense of purpose and he's got a mission in life.
And I think listening to you, they will be encouraged.
Well, you're so kind. Thank you for your phone call.
Thank you so much.
I hope you have a beautiful day in Sulphur Springs today.
You too, and I will probably call you back once I try this.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good girl. Thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You really are setting yourself up for great success by not eating a meal that's high in carbohydrates or sugar in the evening. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I have a friend whose granddaughter, who's 17, is having her bones pop all the time, joints,
mm-hmm.
and they don't know what to do to help her.
Well, I think we're going to have to lube them up.
Okay.
Well, let me give you two or three ideas. Number one, there was a study that demonstrated popping joints, and they measured a type of a vitamin called vitamin K2. Now, vitamin K2 sometimes is called minoquinone 4 or minoquinone 7. That's probably like a total waste of time telling you what that is. But it's a fat-soluble, I think there's 8 forms of vitamin K, which is a fat-soluble vitamin. But it's the vitamin K2 portion that if a person is lacking that, then it's so much easier for what's called calcium to precipitate into the tendons and the muscles and the ligaments, which means, okay, if you're listening right now, you can hear I've got my finger and my thumb. I can make a snapping sound by rubbing them together. But that's what's happening with her tendons and ligaments. And so it's very, they're just popping like crazy. But she's probably got a legitimate deficiency of vitamin K2. And the next thing that really pops in my mind, if I can encourage everyone not to pass judgment on cod liver oil, I don't know how many cases that I've seen where somebody had a similar issue that cod liver oil seemed to fit all the requirements of the body to help satisfy and correct the popping of the joints.
Okay.
The other thing that I think of, and I'm not sure which one's most important, but do you know what collagen is?
Yes.
Okay, collagen has this very unique ability to hold moisture in those tissues, whether it's cartilage or ligaments or tendons. And so even in a 17-year-old, if their diet is low in collagen, oh boy, they may have joints a-popping. They can't sneak up on me. The other day, somebody had popping joints. I said, "You can't sneak up on me. I can hear you." So if this 17-year-old girl is eating the standard American diet, that would probably explain a lot of it. But, for example, if her mom and dad cook a chicken with the skin on it, I would request that she eat the skin. That's collagen. You know, you can go into the grocery store now, and you can go to the refrigerated section, and you can find bone broth right there on the shelf.
Okay.
A cup of bone broth a day, or even Knox gelatin, may go a long way to transforming her. Now, can I ask a question about the 17-year-old young lady? Does she have really, really soft, beautiful skin?
I haven't seen her, so I hope so, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, if her mom says no, she's got bumps all over it, it tends to be dry. then I would really think collagen. And never underestimate the power of water either.
Yeah.
I mean, so many people that I see, they're just dehydrated. And so we want to really hydrate well. I know this is a shock to you, but sometimes people drink soda waters and carbonated beverages instead of water ever.
I know.
Or they drink coffee or tea.
Yeah.
Have you heard the story or the study that says that when children drink coffee every day, they're finding out now that these are the human beings that have the weakest bones as they age, so they're more prone to fractures and osteoporosis or osteopenia.
Huh.
So that means we probably don't want to give a 17-year-old girl a cup of coffee every day.
No. Okay, and she also has, she's been diagnosed with swollen optic neuritis, Dernster and Dreifen, which has to do with her nerves behind her eyes messing up. Is there anything that help her to, because they told her that she's going to eventually lose her eyesight.
Oh, that is horrible.
So, and it causes her horrible headaches. So,
Here's definitely what I would recommend or what I would do. I would assume there's an autoimmune component with this.
Yeah.
And so what you're trying to do is you say, okay, what is within my power to change or look at this differently? And so the young lady, I would pull all stops and say, all right, we want to go on more of a strict vegetable and meat diet.
Okay.
Now, what I'm a fan of, I'm a very big fan of the low-starch vegetables. And if you want to say, is that called broccoli and cabbage and kale and Brussels sprouts and asparagus? I would say yes, absolutely. But we need to give her eyes a chance to heal. So the University of Colorado, and I realize this is not super relevant to her situation, but they showed they could predict with the greatest accuracy who was going to have the most eye problems, and they narrowed it down to two things. Number one, if they kept on a nightlight in their bedroom, meaning there was some ambient source of light while they slept at night, they were going to have the most visual problems or eye problems later in life. Number two, the amount of sugar they consume, which I know is not like rocket science. Sugar actually has no nutritional value. I know it tastes good. I mean, I'm just like anybody else. If you told me, hey, Roy, you could have a small spoonful of honey in your chaga tea that you made this morning, well, that would taste delicious.
Yeah.
But we've just got to avoid white refined sugar like the plague because, I mean, going blind. Oh, my goodness. What can we do to help her? So what I want to do is I want to flood the retina and the macula and the optic nerve with everything it needs. It needs rich fat. That's called avocados. If you told me that her uncle goes to Alaska to get deep oceans, you know, cold water fish for her, I'd say that could be like a total home run. But I just never see these things play out well with modern consumption of grains. I'm not trying to say that corn's bad. I'm not trying to say that rice is bad or wheat. But they definitely present a much different challenge to a human being than what they were back in the time of Abraham or Sarah in the book of Genesis. And so if we could focus on a meat and vegetable-based diet, that's going to be the best. And, of course, from the fruit kingdom, she's got cherries and blueberries and cranberries and strawberries and blackberries and raspberries. Almost all of those have studies on them showing how beneficial they are to ridding the eye of inflammation. But she's probably got either a combination of a genetic abnormality or an autoimmune issue, but let's tilt the balance in her favors to get rid of inflammation.
All right. Good. Thank you so much.
Where does she live, by the way?
Corpus Christi.
Corpus Texas. Christi.
Yeah.
If you're flying in an airplane, that's 2.5 hours away.
Yeah.
But
she's driving a long way.
You're right. You know why I'm saying that? Because I had a guy fly to come see me yesterday from Corpus Christi. I said, what was your speed? He said 178 miles an hour. He was the coolest guy. He was so nice. I so much enjoyed him. His name was Roger. But anyway, no. I wish her the very, very best. And let me know if I can help. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you for your phone call. Bye. Bye-bye. All right. If you'd like to join me on the air, there's a phone line that's once again open, 903-586-5257. You know, one aspect I appreciate about individuals is they are very, very curious. That's a good quality. That means you're willing to study and research and ask questions and look it up for yourself. Sometimes I push that button and it just doesn't do the way I want to. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing just great, sir.
Oh, good.
I've got two questions. On magnesium, can you take magnesium sulfate like in Epsom salt daily for magnesium?
It's going to have more of an osmolytic effect, which means if you take a lot of it, you're going to the bathroom big time.
Okay.
But let me say it this way. I realize this is not the question you're asking, but let's just say out in the garden you have a tomato plant or you have a kale plant. If you were to sprinkle the magnesium sulfate or the Epsom salt around that, then when you eat the plant, it's going to be so much richer in magnesium because the plant has processed. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, sir. Carl does that.
Oh, good. Well, then that's going to be one of the best ways you can get it then.
Yes, he really believes in Epsom salt on your plants. She does that on our watermelons, cantaloupes, and tomatoes. And
ma'am, I'm going to need some real scientific field research done on your watermelons. Tell me exactly your GPS coordinates, and I'll be there later today to sample your watermelons.
Yes, sir. They're doing great.
Well, don't you think I have a moral responsibility to find out if the watermelons are safe for your consumption?
Yes, sir, I do. I can tell you they're very good.
Well, I'm going to have to find out for myself. It's just as simple as that.
Also, and another question I like, you said about the 17-year-old in coffee. Does that also affect older people? Mm. And how many? I'm going to hang up and let you answer this question, but can you tell me more about coffee and how good or how bad it is, and osteoporosis, please?
Okay, will do. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
And if you'll write down your home address and roll it up and put it in a passenger pigeon carrying tube and just fly it over to the radio station right now, and the pigeon should make it here from Palestine about, I'm guessing, 12 minutes if they go. Actually, it'd be more like about 30 minutes. Never mind. Scratch that idea. Okay. The main idea behind bone loss when you let kids drink coffee frequently is this. You know as well as I do that when a child is young, they are growing and developing rapidly. So their body is trying to lay down brand new bone. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overthink this, but a child is in the business of growing a set of bones and muscles that can last a lifetime. Does that make sense? And so if you interrupt that process by consuming a highly acidic beverage such as coffee, then you may deplete your bones of the calcium and their mineral and protein matrix. And so coffee every day equals softer and weaker bones. Now, if you haven't had coffee and you've built this very strong frame and you've worked and used your body so it's very, very strong, then you can probably get away with a little bit of coffee after you're a full-grown adult and your body is fully developed. Actually, I may not should have worded it that way. Your body will continue to strengthen and develop based on the stress that you place upon it. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I don't think this is a side topic, but it's something that I think is worth at least exposing you to if you haven't heard this. There is a B vitamin-like compound. Actually, I just want to call it a B vitamin. It's called inositol. Have you ever heard of inositol before? But there are unique phenotypes, genotypes, people with certain haptogenes, that when they drink coffee or tea, it causes a very significant loss of that B vitamin called inositol. And so the net result is they're not as strong as they should be, and they tend to be more prone to, I'm going to say anxiety, but you know, I just want to use that in a general, loose fashion, because being anxious, you could say, you know what, I know what it's like to feel really happy and joyous on the inside. I feel really good, but you're also going to tell me, oh boy, I am not liking the way that I feel. I'm a bit angst or nervous or jittery or anxious on the inside. That would be what one could experience when you're deficient in inositol. Which is a side note. Inositol is the very substance that helps remove excess fluid from the lungs when somebody has an upper respiratory tract infection. And the stuff tastes so sweet. It tastes like candy almost. I never get a kid that refuses to take inositol tablets. They just taste good. And so inositol can be used in many, many ways, but in some people, when they drink coffee, it weakens the brain and the nervous system, because it causes the inositol just to flush right out of the body and it leaves, so you don't get the benefit of it as far as healing and repair and rejuvenation. Does that make sense? Now, let me play the other side of the angle here. There is an acronym that's called ORAC, O-R-A-C. You may have heard of that before, read about it. ORAC stands for oxygen reabsorbance capacity, I think. And that has to do with, for example, if I had a cup of blueberries, they may have an ORAC score of 1,842. And what they're doing is they're just trying to measure how many antioxidants do blueberries contain. And so if it was a cup of strawberries, maybe it has an ORAC score of 1,228. But if I'm not mistaken, coffee, it has a very high ORAC score. That means it does provide you with very interesting compounds from nature that tend to soak up free radicals, or these compounds found in coffee act as an antioxidant. Now, to play it a different way, I do not have the title of the book in front of me, but for centuries now, there is one technique that has been used to help rid the body of horrific toxins. It's called a coffee retention enema. And some of the studies that I've read go all the way back to maybe the middle 1930s, and maybe even the 40s. And if I'm not mistaken, they came from Czechoslovakia. And what they would do, I know this sounds horrible, I'm just repeating it, I had nothing to do with it, but in these studies, they would take an animal, and like a dog, and they would expose the dog to a very well-studied poison. And so they wanted to find out how it would adversely affect the dog, but some of the dogs, when the poison was administered, the dogs were given a coffee retention enema. Don't overthink it. I'm not even thinking about that right. I don't want to know. But the dogs that received the coffee retention enema, they came away from being exposed to the toxic poisonous waste smelling like a rose. Actually, that didn't even sound right, talking about enema. Never mind. Scratch that idea. Don't think about that. So when they gave him a coffee retention enema, the body was able to quickly eject the poison. So does this make sense? And so in this book I was looking at, they were actually interviewing, and I want to say there were 30 individuals that were completely given over to hospice. The doctor says, you're not going to live. Cancer's taken over the body. All our treatments of chemo and radiation have completely failed. Go to hospice. You're going to live for 6 or 7 days tops, maybe 2 weeks, if God had mercy on you. But in every case, there were these 30 people written in this book on cancer that completely went into spontaneous remission. That's called healing. The cancer just magically disappeared. They have no explanation for it, but they all had one thing in common. They all gave themselves coffee enemas. Now, this doesn't mean I'm trying to overpromise an idea to you. I can't do that. I'm not God. But a coffee enema. See, here's what I think happens. When you have a cancer in your body, your immune system, when it starts to break down the cancer leaves a very toxic debris field. Now, let me just ask you a question. Do you want your body swimming in a toxic field? No. That's the last thing you want. But coffee, in the form of an enema, it has this most interesting ability of helping very efficiently and very quickly relieve your body of all the toxic filth of a broken down cancer cells or tumors. I promise you, you have got to find a way to assist in keeping your body clean. That's just the way it is. So, there would be positive applications for coffee, and there would be maybe some negative. If you gave coffee to a child once a year, that's probably not going to matter. Just like a man the other day told me he has like one half of a Dr. Pepper maybe once a month. I don't know that I'm worried about that. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's time for another phone call. 903-586-5257. There's a phone line officially open, and I'll get you right in. 903-586-5257. Thanks. Good morning. Thank you very much for your call, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan. I'm going to make this real short. I'm having problems sleeping at night. I have a lot of stinging and burning in between my legs from my inside of my knees to the groin area. Now, it's kind of like a prickly type sensation. And that's basically the reason I'm calling. I was wondering if there was something maybe you could suggest or you might think.
Let me give you two or three ideas. Number one, there's a small yellow flower that grows. I mean, when it flowers, sometimes you look across a field and you see the dandelions growing everywhere.
Yes.
I think they're pretty. I want you to consider that maybe in this groin muscle, that could represent that there's a little bit of toxicity. I realize this may not make logical sense, but if you would start drinking about two or three cups of dandelion tea a day, now what I would do also is I would definitely add some freshly squeezed lemon juice to it. Now, if you need a little bit of raw honey to make it taste better, deal. If I can trick you into drinking that, raw honey is acceptable. So if you'll do that, let's see if we can tap into the ability of your body to heal from the inside out by doing dandelion tea with lemon. Now, the other thing that I want you to consider is, even though I don't know what's going on, let's kind of run toward this and let's attack it in that we want to encourage the body to heal. So what I'm going to tell you is a little bit unusual, but just be open-minded. I mean, you are open-minded if you're calling the program, right?
Oh, you most definitely.
Okay, yes. Good. Thank you, sir. If you will buy some beautiful specimens of lemons, it could be organic, that'd be my favorite. They probably have them at the store right now. If you will squeeze the fresh juice of a lemon, what I want you to do, under the appropriate circumstances, is rub that directly on the entire length of that muscle where you have the prickling and the stinging and the discomfort. Let all that lemon juice completely air dry to that area of your thigh that's giving you fits. Once the lemon juice dries, then just get some really good high-quality premium extra virgin olive oil. They even have organic premium extra virgin olive oil at the store now. They did not have that 5 years ago, but now they do. So if you will let your skin drink that up, I think that would be phenomenal. And then thirdly, if that doesn't help turn it, man, I would purchase what's called Indian healing clay, and that's going to be a combination of volcanic ash and calcium bentonite clay and kaolin clay. If you would make a mud pack with maybe some apple cider vinegar as the form of liquid to kind of make a, take it from a dry powder in a tub, put it in a bowl, and add just enough vinegar to it to make like a muddy mud pack. Just think about a potter trying to form a coffee cup on a wheel. It's all slimy, and but that's what clay is. But you want to put mud on those and then go out in the sunshine and let it air dry. Now, it feels weird to have clay dry to your skin, but all you got to do is hose it off when you're done. If you would leave the mud pack on there for about 12 to 15 minutes maybe and then wash it off, let's see if we can get your body totally healed. Because what you can do also, actually, let me tell you this right here. I know this sounds different, but in one recent study, they showed if somebody can sit on the floor with their legs crossed Indian style and they can stand up from that position, or they can come off the floor standing up straight without using their hands, then they tend to be the most preserved people mentally. As they age, they keep and preserve the brain, but that uses those muscles in your thighs. That's hard to do, too. Mm-hmm. You should try that tomorrow morning in church. Just...
I've tried that. There ain't no way. It just don't work.
Well, so if that's undoable, you need to start stretching the groin or those adductor muscles inside your thigh.
Okay.
And see if we can't make some progress.
Well, I really, really appreciate that.
Well, one last question. I know that we're almost out of time, but do you have any trouble with constipation at all?
A little bit.
Well,
I am also a diabetic, too.
Well, if you will stick to more of a meat and vegetable diet and avoid the grains like the plague, but the goal is, let's get you in better working order. And I do want you to get stronger, so go for walks today if you can and start working on those legs.
Well, I do appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, sir. Hope you have a good
day.
Thank you much. Bye-bye. Okay, there's exactly 1 minute left. Actually, there's 1 minute and 24 seconds left. There's probably really not time for a phone call. I apologize about that. But if you will, tune in this time next week, Lord willing. If the world is still around, sometimes I wonder. I mean, is it just me, or do you feel like that maybe these are the last days? There's just so much chaos. I would like to believe that just about everybody that listens to the station has a good Christian worldview and an outlook on this. What would Erica say? She would say, keep looking up. And so that would be my encouragement. Whatever you can do to think about what does God want me to do would be your best call. It does help, though, if you take care of yourself. Nobody else is going to do that. Your mom's not going to do it for you. Your wife is not going to do it for you. You have got to take personal ownership and responsibility of your health. If your body is going to be this tremendous vehicle that carries your amazing heart and brain out to the world, then it might really be in your best interest to have a body that serves you very well. After all, that is your ticket to going and doing what God designed you to do, which is to love others and to care about people and to be empathetic. To me, it's easy to have empathy. Maybe not so great at times, but it's easy for me to think about other people and put them first. Lord willing, you will have a great weekend. God bless you. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.